The Meshech Chochmo is a very interesting observation here. Here in Posuk Tet of chapter Lamed. Now let's start from Posuk Chet just to introduce it again. Ve'ata ve'atot shuv, and you will return. You will do tshuva. Veshomato bekoil Hashem. So we are talking about a person who is doing tshuva. You'll fulfill all these commandments. So we are talking about a good Jew. I mean, would you say that the man is in a very high madrega if the Torah describes him as a Jew who has returned, who listens to the voice of Hashem, and he fulfills all the commandments? So now, take a look at the bracha. What is the bracha for such a person? Vehoisircho Hashem Elokecho. The word vehoisirko, what? Well,
heter?
Yoiser. Loshin yoiser. Vehoisirko loshin yoiser. Vehoisirino, said the Now, he'll give you more. You'll do, and Hashem will bless you that you should have a lot, right? Your harvest will be very successful. Okay?
Isn't it normal for the Yoiser Khadijah?
No, Yoisircho can be Loshin Yoiser. Vehoisircho, it's Vadai, the word is Vehoisircho Loshin Yoiser. That's if you take a look at the Unklus, Vyoiserino. So it's a broken. To what? Bechol Maseh Yodecho. Everything you do, you will be successful. Right? Ask the Meshech Chochmo the following question. The Gemara says in Brochos, that which it says in the second parsha of Kriyashma, "Ve'oyim shemoat ishmeul mitzvaysay asherach mitzav eschem la'avos Hashem lekechem olavah v'nosatim etar v'nosafto degonecho v'ziroishcho v'yitzorecho," says the Gemara that this is only b'she'enom oisim retzoino shel mokoy. We are not talking about perfect Jews. We are talking about non-perfect Jews. Right? Why? Because perfect Jews, Jews who are in a very, very high madrege, melachto nasis alidei acheri. They don't have to work. Things are done for them. Okay? So, asks the Meshech Chochmo, this is talking in Posuk Ches, at the end of days when everything will be perfect. Right? We are describing the Mashiach's money. The times of Mashiach already, perfect times. So wouldn't you assume that if we are describing perfect Jews in the perfect times, that it would be included in what the Gemara says, Oisim Retzoino Shel Mokoy, that they fulfill the word of Hashem, and therefore Melachto Nasis Alidei Acheri, things should be done by other people for them. So if so, why does it say, Vehoisircho Hashem Eloikecho, Bechol Maseh Yodecho. You won't have to work. Why does the Torah say that you will have to work, but you will be successful? Having to work by being successful is already a lower level. Why should the Torah describe second best when from the introduction in Posuk Ches, it seems that we are describing the best? So the Meshech Chochmo comes to the following conclusion, which is it's very important to know this. He says that Talpei Alofen. He says the following. He says this idea that you don't have to work and you can be misasei beruchnias full time. You can be involved in spiritual matters full time. Is only someone who is not a Baal Tshuva. But a Baal Tshuva that who has a background in things which are not spiritual, the change is too drastic. Therefore, since according to his background, he calls it Nishtarish Bechet, which means he was not involved in spiritual matters, So now that he does tshuva, it's not good for him to become posukhe.
In other words, we are not describing someone who was always a tzaddik. It was always involved in spiritual endeavors. We are describing a Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva, what's his background? That he was involved in gashmizdik and things of his life. Now that he does Tshuva, it's not even good for him to become completely involved in the spiritual. So the Torah is telling you, work, but work a little bit. And involve yourself in spiritual matters a lot, and Hashem will make you succeed in your physical endeavors. Tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush from the Meshech Chokhmah, which is a tremendous importance to nowadays, right? That it's not good for somebody to go to the other extreme. That's what he says. I mean, it seems to say, I mean, he says it for all times, right? He says even Moshiach's times, that those people who came back in Mashiach's time, those people that were always tzaddikim, they don't have to work. But even in Mashiach's times, we are talking in perfect times, Hashem will make sure that you'll have something to do. Because that's the way you are used to, you don't go to the other extreme and become completely involved in spiritual endeavors. It's an incredibly big chiddush, what the Meshech Chokhmah is saying.
Is it a vast document, the subject or not?
I'll tell you, it's hard to know in these matters, a das yochid or not, because I have never seen anybody making a rule, right? In general, people will say, well, each one, each individual. But the truth of the matter is, I never saw anybody arguing with him. I mean, I never saw anybody agreeing with him, you understand? But he's the only one who talks in a general way, as far as I have seen, about this subject. But I'd like to make a comment on this. In many Meforshim, we find the following, and if you put together what the Meforshim say and what the Meshech Chokhmah says, you may come out with a different conclusion. This is what I wanted to add to the Meshech Chokhmah. If you take a look in this whole chapter 30, starting from the beginning of chapter 30 to Posuk, to Posuk Yud, the end of the Parshas Atshuvot, right? The ten psukim, the first ten psukim of chapter 30, we find three psukim describing the tshuva of Klal Yisrael. Three psukim. The first posuk is the one we discussed yesterday, posuk 2. Veshavto ad Hashem Elokech. So on that I told you, we have this pshat which says it's not real tshuva, it's tshuva ad, but veloy ad bichlal. But besides this posuk too, we have two other psukim describing tshuva. Posuk chet and posuk yud. And that, it's not clear what is the difference between the tshuva posuk chet and the tshuva posuk yud. Now, let's take a look. Let's analyze posuk chet and posuk yud. In posuk chet it says like this, Ve'ato toshuv, and in the day will come that you will do tshuva, Veshomato ve'kol Hashem ve'osis eskol mitzvah so Hashem onachem etzavko ayon, and then Hashem will bless you. And then in posuk yud, Kisishma ve'kol Hashem elokecho, because you will listen to him and follow his commandments, lishmor mitzvah so ve'chukoy so v'aksuv ve'sevratu ha'zeh, ki toshuv el Hashem elokecho v'chol levovcho v'chol namshecho. There's another tshuva. What is the difference between tshuva in posuk ches and tshuva in posuk yud? Okay? Now, it gets a little bit even more complicated. In reality, we even have a fourth posuk about tshuva without mentioning the word tshuva. Okay? Meanwhile, we discovered three psukim talking about tshuva. But there is a fourth posuk which is also tshuva, but a different type of tshuva. The word tshuva is not mentioned. And this is posuk vov. Umol Hashem Elokecho es levovcho ves levav zarecho. Hashem will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants. What is that? That is not tshuva. Lehavu es Hashem Elokecho bechol levovcho v'chol nashecho leman chayecho. That's also tshuva. Okay? So we have to clarify, really, three psukim. Vov, and ches, and yud. Three different expressions of tshuva. What are they? What is each one of them? So from the Mefarshim you find the following explanation. Posuk Vov describes a tshuva that will be absolutely perfect without any external incentives. I'll show you right away where it comes from. How do we know that? Umol Hashem Elokecho, all of a sudden your heart will change. It's a tshuva which stems from the inside of the person. No external incentives, just the opposite. Purely an internal tshuva. Hashem will affect your heart, and all of a sudden you will realize my heart is different. It's showing me different things. It's telling me different things. Which is then, Posuk Vov, it is describing a tshuva without any external motivation. However, Posuk Zayin, which precedes Posuk Ches, describes to me a different type of a tshuva with external motivations. Pay attention to Posuk Zayin, which precedes Posuk Ches. Venosan Hashem Elokecho eskolo oloiso eile aloivecho valsoinecho asher edovucho. You will see all the curses falling on your enemies. Ve'atotoshu. Let's put together Posuk Zayin and Posuk Ches. What does it come to? That this is not a tshuva that comes from the inside. We are talking about a second path towards tshuva. Posuk Vov u'mol Hashem Elokecho es levovcho ves levav zarecho. It's tshuva that comes from within you. And you know that the remez of Posuk Vov is Elul. Es levovcho ves levav rosh teves Elul. You know, they all bring it down. That es levumol Hashem es levovcho ves levav Rosh Teves Elul. Now, it's not a coincidence this Rosh Teves Elul, because that's what Elul is all about. To initiate the process of tshuva from within. As opposed to Posuk Zayin, which is the external push towards tshuva. You will see a changed world, a world with tremendous changes. You will be so overwhelmed. They are total shum, so you will do tshuva. Now, is this tshuva in Posuk Chet, is this called a tshuva me'avo? Because what is the difference between tshuva me'avo and tshuva me'iro? Tshuva me'iro includes any tshuva for an ulterior motive. That is tshuva me'iro. Tshuva me'iro can be, for instance, because the word yiro doesn't mean necessarily yiro, even though yiro literally means fear. For instance, what about if you do tshuva because you're going to be very rich? You think that if you're going to be you're going to keep the Torah, Hashem will give you a lot of money. What is that called? Tshuva meyiro. I mean, if you divide the two types of tshuva into tshuva meyavo and tshuva meyiro, what you are really describing is tshuva for an ulterior motive or tshuva without any ulterior motive, just because you're convinced that it's the right thing. So tshuva me'iro includes any ulterior motive. So if so, Posuk Zayin and Ches, what are they introducing? Obviously tshuva me'iro, if you see your enemies have going through incredible experiences and that will push you to do tshuva, would you call it tshuva me'avo? How can you call it tshuva me'avo? You're afraid. You see the consequences. That's not called tshuva me'avo. As a matter of fact, you know what's missing from Posuk Ches? What Posuk Yud tells you, for instance, what does it say in Posuk Yud? At the end of Posuk Yud, Kiso Shuve Lashem Elokecho Bechol Levovcho Bechol Navshecho. That doesn't say in Posuk Yud. It doesn't say Vatoto Shuv Bechol Levovcho Bechol Navshecho. What does that imply? That we are talking about tshuva meyiro, it's not bechol levovcho bechol nafshecho. Bechol levovcho bechol nafshecho is avo. You follow me? Ve'ohavto es Hashem Elokecho bechol levovcho bechol nafshecho. That is tshuva meyavo. So if so, Posuk Yud is talking about tshuva meyavo, which means a tshuva out of the recognition of the truth. But Posuk Ches is describing a tshuva that comes from the outside. Okay? Now, if this is so, once we come to this conclusion, then we have to qualify the statement of the Meshech Chochma. Yeah. Right.
Is there not?
Okay, now, once we put these two psukim together, then we have to qualify what the Meshech Chochma says. Because what the Meshech Chochma is saying, that Posuk Tet, which is the blessing for the Baal Tshuva in Posuk Chet, what kind of Baal Tshuva are we talking about? Yeah. We are talking about Baal Tshuva Meiro, not Baal Tshuva Meiro. Comes out according to this, that his whole proof is from a Posuk that's talking about the Baal Tshuva Meiro, and not Baal Tshuva Meiro. Okay, so what will be the case by Baal Tshuva Meiro? Maybe the Baal Tshuva Meiro really is in the same level like a Tzadik Gomor, and he doesn't have to work, right? The Masei Yodecho, that it says only about Baal Tshuva Meiro. Okay, there clearly how we are limiting the Chiddush of the Meshech Chochma. Now, if the Chiddush of the Meshech Chochma is clear, I mean, he's right, the Torah says so. But the question is, it's very, very possible that the Posuk is only talking about the Tshuva Meiro, and according to many Meforshim, this is exactly what Posuk Chetz is all about Tshuva Meiro, and it makes sense that the Baal Tshuva Meiro is a Baal Tshuva who hasn't changed that much, so therefore, he has to adjust to his past, but a Baal Tshuva Meiro doesn't have to adjust. And really, there is even more depth to it. Because the pshat is like this. What is the difference? What is it? You know, there's a very difficult gemara. The gemara says like this. Baal Tshuva Meiro, because, you know, there is a question. In one place it says that a Baal Tshuva, all his averes become, all his mezidim, all his intentional averes become like shoygigim, like unintentional averes. And in another place it says that all his averes become merits. There is a contradiction. In one place, we have a tradition that intentional sins become unintentional sins. Right? This is what Tshuva does. And in another place, we have that Tshuva does that he changes bad things that you did and makes them retroactively good. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kashe, it's not fair. Here we are talking about Tshuva Meiro. If you do Tshuva Meiro, then your averes become zechuyos, become merit. But Tshuva Meiro, if a person does Tshuva Meiro, then his averes just become less than they were before. But he still has them, he is still transgressed. Why is it? I mean, how can it be that Tshuva can make an avere into a retroactive merit? What is the story behind it? What is the idea behind it? So, the Meforshim say it, but I use an analogy as an example just to clarify what they say. You see, let's say a thief, for instance, someone who was excellent in breaking into homes, right? He wants to do tshuva. He wants to stop doing it. Okay? Now, let's say he wants to stop doing it because he realizes how insensitive it was from him not to realize that people have property and that they shouldn't, the things that belong to somebody else shouldn't be taken away from them. You know, it's a whole process of Tshuva Meiro. That's called Tshuva Meiro. So such a Jew who does Tshuva Meiro, the question is, what should he do with his past? Should he just forget about his past and start all over again? Just the opposite. Such a Jew will start thinking, since I have such a skill that I can break into homes, maybe I can put that skill to use, right? Even in the future. How? I don't know. When people are in trouble, old people get stuck in houses, so I'll break in and save them. So I mean, Tshuva Meiro means that you use everything that you have for the good, because you become committed to something good. Comes out according to this, that all those averes that you did in the past can become an asset in your life, meaning you can start using it for the good. But this is only if you become an ideological Baal Teshuva, not for any ulterior motive. You just realize it's the right thing. So if it's the right thing, you're not going to try to erase your past. Why should you erase your past? Just the opposite. You can build upon your past. Because he uses it since he's ideologically convinced now that the goal is to help people instead of is damaging people. Now he's convinced that to help people is the main thing. So what will he say? Hey, I have skills. I am excellent in breaking into houses. How can I put that skill to use? I mean, once you are convinced, once you are ideologically convinced that that's the right way. Masha Enken, what about if you stop being a thief because you are afraid that you're going to end up in jail? Right? That's all. You're afraid you're going to end up in jail. So you decide from now on, I'll never break into houses anymore. So such a person, all his life, his skill that he developed to break into houses, is there any use for such a person from now on? Not at all, because just the opposite. Now he wants to stop. Now he wants to forget about his past. But it's there. But he didn't change his evil past into something good. You understand the difference? This is the difference between somebody who might make tshuva meyiro, which means that for him the past is lost time, it's lost. But what can he do? It's better than nothing. Mashenk and somebody with tshuva me'ago, so he will put all his skills and all his experiences to use for the future. This is why it makes sense that somebody who makes tshuva me'ago, his averos, which means his bad experiences in the past, becomes zechuyos, which means they become assets in his future life in order to put all his experiences to use for the right goal. But the one who does tshuva meyiro has no goal. His goal is not to get into trouble with the law. You understand the difference? This is why somebody who does tshuva meyiro, his averos are not really averos anymore. They are assets, retroactively speaking. Of course, at the time they were averos, but now they become assets. In the words of the Meshech Chochmo, when he says it about tshuva, should not become completely involved in spiritual matters, he adds the words, Mipnei shenishtareish b'chet, because he rooted himself in sin, and it's very difficult to get out of it. So, for sure, what is he hinting to? If he's about tshuva me'avo, he's retroactively not nishtareish b'chet, his chatoin becomes a chuyos. So therefore, it fits into the words of the Meshech Chochmo that he's only talking about tshuva meyiro, in other words, about tshuva for ulterior motives. But about tshuva without any ulterior motives, just because he's committed to the truth. So by him, this rule doesn't apply. Okay, so it comes out then that we have a ho'ore, we have a comment on the big psak, on the very important statement of the Meshech Chochmo, that someone's about tshuva should not become full-time involved in spiritual matters. We add that perhaps that only applies for a Baal Teshuva Meyiro, but maybe a Baal Teshuva Me'avo has the right to become completely involved in spiritual matters.
The person that's tshuva, because that's the only way you can find happiness, what all of tshuva is that?
If that's the only reason, which means that I would rather not do tshuva, but what can I do? You know, it's like, you know, it's I feel guilty when I don't do tshuva. That's tshuva Meyiro. This is not because he's committed to the truth. It's that it's moinei atzar. You know, doing the mitzvah is just moinei, keeps me from, you know, getting into trouble. That's not, it's tshuva, but it's not tshuva me'avo. That level of tshuva me'avo is for positive reasons, not to pay the consequences of not doing tshuva. You understand? Okay, let's go on. Now, if we have time at the end, I'll come back still to this parsha, but I want to go on to the next portion. Posuk Yudalev. Now, listen to the statement, right? You remember the subject of everything up to this point. The subject is the return of the Jews to God at the end of the days. So now it says like this in Posuk Yudalev. Ki ha-mitzvo ha-zois, because this commandment, singular, ki ha-mitzvo, singular, אשר נוכחים מצפו היום, לא נפלסי ממכו, לא ירחוי כהי, לא יבשומיים, it's not too far away from you, it's right next to you. Now, without going into the details in the Pshotim, in the Psukim, if I were to ask you, what is the mitzvah Hazois that it's describing? What mitzvah?
Torah.
Torah? Why do you call it Ki HaMitzvah Hazois? Call it Ki HaMitzvois or Elu. Plural. Why is a mitzvah Hazois? So you say because it's one thing, Torah, keeping of Torah. But is this the subject of, you know, if it says Ki HaMitzvah Hazois, shouldn't it be connected with the subject we covered till now? You hear the problem? What?
All the Torah is Moshe telling them.
Yeah, but specifically, Ki HaMitzvah Hazois.
Shuvah.
What?
Shuvah.
Oh, you're saying Shuvah. So let me tell you who says what. The Ramban and the Sifurno say that it goes on the subject of chapter Lamed, which is Shuvah. Ki HaMitzvah Hazois, because doing Shuvah, which is the commandment I'm telling you right now, and this is the subject of the last portion. It's not difficult. You think that it's impossible. It's very easy. This is the way the Ramban learns. This is the way the Sifurno learns. Rashi himself, he doesn't say it out, but from his not saying, really, impossible. What he does comment is in Posuk Yudalev and Yudbeis. So from Posuk Yudalev, you can't see one way or the other, but Yudbeis, Loi Bashomaimi, because remember, according to the Ramban, Loi Bashomaimi, how should it be learned? Tshuva Loi Bashomaimi. You don't have to go up to heaven to do tshuva, you can do it down here. Says Rashi, Loi Bashomaimi, She'ilu Oisho Bashomaim. Because if it would be in heaven, Oisho Tzorech Laloi Zachareo Ule Lamdo. So what mitzvah is it about?
Torah.
Here, so from Rashi, it's clear that Ki HaMitzvah Hazois means the mitzvah of Torah, of knowing Torah. Now, in reality, the Ramban and the Sifurno seem impossible. Because the Gemara learns out, Loi Bashomaimi, you know what we learn out from this statement. This mitzvah is not difficult, Loi Bashomaimi. You know what the Gemara learns it out? Learns out, if Anovi tells you that something such and such is the halacha, don't listen to him. If Anovi tells you in the name of God, I must add. If Anovi tells you in the name of God, and you know he's a reliable Novi, but he tells you, Hashem told me to put on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam instead of the tefillin from Rashi, don't listen to him. Because Loi Bashomaimi, right? So, what does it show then? That the Parsha is talking about what? Torah, not Tshuva. So, where does Tshuva fit in? Now, according to Chazal, how can the Ramban and the Sifurno say, Ki HaMitzvah Hazoi talks about Tshuva? You see, the Gemara talks about Torah. And the truth of the matter is that even without the Gemara, even the simple meaning of the words don't fit in according to the Ramban. Let's start again. Ki HaMitzvah Hazois, what I just told you, that you should do tshuva. It's not far from you, it's not in heaven. Take a look at the end of the pasuk of it's not in heaven. Loi bashomayim hi, leimor miyale lonu ashomaymo vikoche olonu. Who can go up to heaven and bring it down to us? Vayashmienu oiso. What is the simple chat of Yashmienu oiso? To teach us. To teach us what? Venaseno. It's Torah. So what does it mean? To bring it down. Mia lelano ashomayim v'yikoche olonu. What? Shuve? I mean, shuve is something that you do. It's not an objective thing that you say, I'll bring it to you.
It could be the issue about Shuvah talking and saying, you will bring the Torah down to me, the Torah said that you bring.
Yeah.
The Torah said,
Paul.
Who's sending back to Shammai, bring me the Torah.
To bring it?
No, it's impossible to bring the Torah. It's too far away from me. I'm locked up, but it's too far. So you must have said, the Balshim is also talking about the Torah.
Oh, so that's the point. So the point is that in reality, there is such a concept in tshuva, which is another type of tshuva. You know, we usually think of tshuva as something that follows a sin, right? First have to sin in order to become a baal tshuva. True. In reality, there is one aspect of tshuva which does not have to follow the sin, but it can precede the sin. Now, what does it mean? You see, we find, for instance, you see in the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we find the following. That after we say, for Rosh Hashanah Yikoseimun, or Rosh Hashanah, the judgment is written down, Yom Kippur Yikoseimun, and it's sealed in Yom Kippur, we say like this, but there are three things that can change the decree. What are the three things in the davening? Tshuva, utfilo, utsudoko. Right? So the truth of the matter is, that's asked by the Meforshim. What does it mean, tfilo? It means to pray as you are supposed to, not as you prayed up to now. Tzedoko, give tzedoko as you are supposed to, not like the tzedoko that you did up to now. So why isn't it all included in tshuva? Do you understand what I mean? Why do you have to separate tshuva, tfilo, and tzedoko? Your tefillah and the tzedakah has to be rectified. Let that be included in tshuva. So why doesn't the prayer say, there is one thing that you have to do and you take care of your problem. Do tshuva. Tshuva will include praying better and giving more charity. So why do you have to worry about tefillah and tzedakah? Do you follow the question? So the Meforshim said that these three elements, tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, correspond to this Mishnah, the first part of the first chapter in Pirkei Avos, al shloisha dvorim ba'olam oimet. What are the shloisha dvorim that ha'olam oimet? If you want to establish a new life, you need shloisha dvorim. What are the shloisha dvorim? Torah, avoido, egmilus chasodim. Now let's start backwards. When it says tzedoko, what is it referring to? Gemilus Chasodim, no question about it. When it says avoido, right? What is it referring to? What kind of avoido are we talking about? Yeah. Tefillah. So when it says Torah, what are we talking about? Tshuva. So what does it mean? Al shloisha dvorim oilo moimet, al Torah, al avoido, al gemilus Chasodim. Gemilus Chasodim is not Torah. Avoido is not Torah. So what do we mean by Torah? We don't mean mitzvahs. We mean the commitment to an idea. That's what it means. Al shloisha dvorim oilom oimet means your intellectual commitment. Like it says like this. There are three relationships. One of the questions says there are three relationships that a person has. You have a relationship with Hashem. You have a relationship with yourself. And you have a relationship with your fellow man. Your relationship with your fellow man, that's Gemilus Chasodim, right? Your relationship with Hashem, that's Avoido, right? Avoido is your relationship with Hashem, your subservience to God. So what's Torah? Torah is your relationship with yourself. When you take control over your animalistic instinct, that's Torah. Now, the taking charge of your own life, man with himself, that's Torah. The intellectual and emotional experience of being immersed in Torah. Not the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. The fulfillment of the mitzvahs is something else. But we are talking about the experience of your immersing yourself in the experience of being a ben Torah. That involves the intellectual experience of studying the Torah, the emotional commitment, the emotional experience of it, of the immersion into Torah, all that is included in Torah. Okay? Now, that is of course possible. That doesn't include Gemilus Chasodim, because it's an experience between you and yourself. Torah is an experience for yourself. Like after the Lefatol, listening to music. Listening to music is a personal experience, you with yourself. That is Torah, except that Torah encompasses everything, your emotion. emotional life, your intellectual life, everything is committed to Torah. But that has nothing to do with Avoido. You haven't established a relationship with a God yet. You haven't established your relationship with your fellow man yet. That is the meaning of Torah. So when it says tshuva, it refers to the rectification of your relationship with yourself. Otom im atzmoi, man with himself. His immersion in that new life of Torah, this is what tshuva is all about. A person can be a tzaddik gomur. He does everything right, but he's not immersed in Torah. Intellectually, he's not committed to Torah, and emotionally, he's not committed to Torah. He's not immersed in Torah. He fulfills the mitzvahs, but he's not immersed in Torah. That is the meaning of tshuva that precedes tefillah and tzedakah. Tshuva doesn't mean doing tshuva. Of course, doing tshuva is another mitzvah, that when you do something wrong, you have to testify it. Tshuva is a type of a life that involves your immersion in the personal experience of being a Ben Torah. And this answers the following question in the Rambam. It's a famous Rambam. The Rambam says like this, in Yom Kippur, Beyom HaKippurim, he says, the Seir HaMishtaleach, the scapegoat, helps you atone for all your transgressions. We mentioned it in the past. The Seir HaMishtaleach, the scapegoat, helps you atone for all your transgressions. Ben Shoigeg, Ben Mezi, whether you knew what you were doing, you didn't know what you were doing. Ben Noidaloi, whether he ever found out that he did something wrong. Vel Oiloi Noidaloi, even if you never found out that you committed a sin, you stole something you never realized and you don't know that you stole. Okay? Seir HaMishtaleach Mechaper. Vehu, but on the condition sheyaaseh tshuva, but you have to do tshuva. Here, you stole money and you didn't know it wasn't yours. You saw money on the table, you thought it was yours. You put it in your pocket. You never found out that the money doesn't belong to you, so you never knew that you committed a sin. Don't worry, the Seir HaMishtaleach will take care of your sin. But one condition, vehu sheyaaseh tshuva, and the obvious question is, how can you ever do tshuva when the Rambam himself, when he describes tshuva, he says that first you have to say poshati ovisi v'osisi kach v'kach, which means recognizing your sin is the first condition to tshuva. How can it be that you do tshuva for a sin that you don't know that you committed? Right? What kind of a tshuva is it? Right? How can the Seir HaMishtaleach help you? The answer is, we are not talking about the tshuva that comes after the sin. We are not talking about the tshuva which is a cure to your sins. We are talking about preventive medicine. There is such a thing as preventive tshuva. What is preventive tshuva? What is tshuva that precedes the sin? Tshuva that precedes the sin is the personal immersion into a state of mind that will make it impossible for you to do the Avera. That is also tshuva. But it is the tshuva which is Torah. When I told you the three Torah, Avodah Gvurah Chasodim, tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah, that's the tshuva that we are talking about. If you are ready to do tshuva before you sin, it's much more effective than the tshuva after you sin. So this is what the Rambam says. Let's say, for instance, you stole money and you don't know you stole it. So the specific tshuva for that specific sin, you'll never be able to make. You are an oinus. You don't know that you committed a sin. How can you be mechuyav to do tshuva? But what about the possibility that that will be repeated in the future? If you don't have sensitivity for other people's money, the chances are that it will happen over and over and over again. So you have to do tshuva. Not for the past. For the past you can't rectify it. You don't know that you did anything wrong. But what about preventive tshuva? The tshuva which requires the immersion into Torah to such a point that it will become impossible for you to do such a mistake in the future. That's the type of a tshuva that the Rambam is talking about. Vehu sheyase tshuva. If you become a more honest person, then all your sins that you committed that goes against that honesty, the Seir HaMishtaleach will do. What is that? It's a tshuva which precedes the sin. It's a tshuva that doesn't need a sin in order to transgress. Same thing is, for instance, what about if a person, he's a tendency not to be honest. But it never came out because he doesn't go to the store, he doesn't do business. But he's be'etzem dishonest. There is such a thing, right? He's be'etzem dishonest, but it never came out in real life. But wait, wait another 10 years, he'll go into business, then you'll really see it. But can this person do tshuva before he ever commits the sin? Absolutely yes. Meaning, he can strengthen that level of inversion into Torah that will make him a more honest person. What will that be called? A tshuva. Tshuva on what? He never committed a sin. It's the tshuva which is preventive medicine. The tshuva that precedes the sin. It's the tshuva which is the parallel of Torah. The immersion in Torah which makes you a stronger person, therefore you'll never be sick. So according to this comes out that tshuva, right, there is one aspect of tshuva which is the same as Torah. That's what Torah is all about. Okay, so in that we can call it tshuva, we can call it Torah. Like you see, Torah void of milos chasodim, tshuva tfilot stoko. So the word tshuva and the word Torah, from that point of view, mean exactly the same thing. This is what the Rambam means in the Sifurno. Ki hamitzvah hazois, because this mitzvah of doing tshuva, which includes preventive medicine, because tshuva is also a preventive medicine. It's not only a cure for a sickness. It's something that prevents the sickness. But in order to do that, you have to immerse yourself in Torah. So you're going to say, oh, that's very difficult to immerse myself in Torah. Not at all. It's right next to you. You don't have to go to heaven. You have to don't go across the sea. It's right there. You can use it in order to prevent the sin, and that's called tshuva, because that's called preventive medicine. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, ksiva sima toive, a good cure.